So, Tony, you have our agenda, is that?
Yes, I have a few things. There may be more.
Okay.
Would you want me to tell you everything I have? And
sure, why don't you?
Okay. John had asked about self-facilitation, so maybe talk about that on a call.
Okay.
And Anne wrote in that she's not receiving the key reading as part of the Mountain View Sangha, so we wanted to, that's something to look at, you know, going out for the Mountain View Sangha.
And right. I think we've got a way to do that from the monastery.
Oh,
we just haven't quite gotten it out the email door yet, but we will shortly.
Okay. And then Anne had also written in a while back about maybe talk about doing an online manual for facilitation tips, something like
that. Yes. Such a great idea. And I don't know if we're going to try and talk about that this evening, but so those were the only items you had, Tony?
Yeah, and I don't know if we want to talk to anything about the orientation.
Aha, right, right. Okay, let me make a note of that, too. Okay, well, how about if we start with John's question about self... Hold on just a sec.
Just to throw in one little piece of input, I was thinking that it would be handy on this call. There's a bunch of stuff out there in the blog people have asked for input on, and they're really, if people can offer, if they have input from their own experience and can write that in the blog, I think that is happening occasionally. That's fantastic because there's a way that we can all teach each other through that. But we don't have a format for really getting specific input into questions like that from the monastery, and at least in the short term, it seems like this is it in these calls. So I thought we could spend the bulk of the call on those, like what are unfinished or unresolved or undealt with sort of things from the blog that people wanted to mention. So, you know, maybe we could do that. Maybe we could put the, Anne's idea kind of towards the bottom, depending on how far we go. And I don't think we need to deal with the orientation right now.
But we'll start with John himself to do this.
Okay. So maybe while we're getting started, folks can also be looking at that question about whether there's anything that has gone into the blog as a question that we could address in this call or discuss. So what about folks? I think that John's question was essentially, what is self-facilitation? So possibly several somebodies could speak to their experience of that. Sequoia.
I'd like to say something about that because the last call I made a commitment to having a group of one with myself. And I just... So the way my group is facilitated is that I have two chairs, and I sit in one chair as a facilitator, and then I switch and go to the other chair as the person who's being facilitated. And I do reflective listening. The facilitator does a reflective listening with the facilitator, T. And I just wanted to share how powerful that is. Conditioning has a great deal of resistance to me doing it, which is just the first key. And when I do that, it's remarkable to me how powerful it is. And I am reminded, once again, there is no self and other. You know, that it doesn't matter whether I'm sitting in front of a group of 150 people, or just facilitating in that room, it's that powerful. In fact, I was thinking we might want to make it part of our facilitation program is, 1 month or 2 months of self-facilitation as preparation. I think it's great.
Yeah, that's neat. So you've made a commitment to do it, and you're finding it sounds like you move into the facilitator role when you move into the facilitator's chair, and you facilitate whatever the issue is that was brought by the you who was sitting in the chair opposite you, and actually have a kind of, it sounds like a complete facilitation experience.
Yes, complete, and I always leave the experience just enriched. I just really feel like I attended a great group, and I got what I needed.
And I'm hoping maybe you recorded it. Or next time.
Well, that's a new thing to add to my plan. I think that's a great idea. I'll do that.
Thanks, Nicole. So how about other folks who have some experience with self-facilitation? Michael.
I echo, whatever the right way to say it is, everything that was just said. And one, that's exactly what I do. Or sometimes, like, just if I'm walking, I'll turn my head to one side as a look to my left as a facilitator and look to my right as the person being facilitated. And I do pretty much all reflective listening. And sometimes I do a practice of, as the facilitator, offering kindness and like unconditional love and acceptance to the person I'm facilitating verbally, and do that in the way that seems like whatever seems right at the time. And also that both, especially that one, has been a very powerful practice for me. And so, and that, the other thing, meditation is sometimes it just happens while I'm walking around. I think I think that's what we're doing when we're present, is facilitating what's happening in us, and bringing it into the kind of the realm of acceptance and like that. So, and that's also really powerful.
Yeah, so self-facilitation is really possible in pretty much any circumstance, it sounds like, and you're taking advantage of maybe just sort of being facilitator, turning your head one way, and being the facilitatee, turning your head the other way, and you're recognizing it as something that happens naturally. Was it more? Okay. Okay, was that somebody else jumping in?
Yeah, I was just going to say, this is Andrea, and I do it all the time, and I find it extremely helpful. I do reflective listening, and I also practice clarifying and drawing out as well. And
Pushing those edges a little bit, huh?
Yeah, but I feel like it's my own therapist, and it's amazing. I can come into it feeling extremely identified, and after it's finished, it's just like, I feel so much better. It's amazing.
Yeah, so it sounds like you're describing a really potent disidentification tool.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah, you go into it identified, and then you facilitate yourself and do reflective listening and maybe a little bit drawing out and clarifying, and then you wind up being in a very place when you finish.
Yeah, it's amazing. And after it's over, I kind of, it feels like I, you know, if I have something that I hadn't really seen, it really comes out during that as well.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
So things will surface that you might not have seen before you started, but then you really benefit from seeing in the process of facilitating yourself.
Yeah.
Great, thank you.
Thanks.
Anybody else?
Melinda?
Yes.
This is Jan.
Hey, Jan.
This is a little branch off the tree. I more want to speak to the experience I'm having as I'm listening to what's going on. And that is, as I'm listening to you skillfully reflect people, what's arising in me is how authentic it sounds. It doesn't sound contrived. It doesn't sound like there's any effort. That it just flows. And I'm just struck with how much authenticity there is, in my experience, when someone is skillful at reflective listening, which, you know, is not skillful in being a personality, is skillful in being present. I'm just moved to say that. It just comes through so strongly listening to the exchanges.
That's neat. And it also, it's, you're describing what can happen for each person in the self-facilitation process. That it doesn't have to be a, you know, sometimes, especially at the beginning of reflective listening, we can get into kind of parroting, but it really is a, it comes naturally with practice.
Yeah, and the thing Michael said about kindness, it seems to me, too, that kindness naturally arises out of that place of presence and listening and awareness. And so whether we're extending that to ourselves or someone else, it just is available naturally in that place. So
when you are present with someone, you are in kindness.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. Thanks, Jan.
Yeah. And just one last thing. Given that the first couple of people that spoke were the monks and that you're facilitating, I just moved to express appreciation to the monks. Always, but, you know, you guys are anchoring this whole program as well as our practice and gratitude. Thank you.
Gusho to you from all of us.
John.
Hey, John.
I was initially interested, this has been great, I was initially interested in just, you know, getting guidance on whether I could do it or not, seeing as I'm new to the
Your phone is breaking up a whole lot, John, and I'm only being able to pick up about every fourth word.
Okay, let me try this. Is that better?
Keep talking.
Okay. I was just as interested in this conversation, but also interested in just guidance on whether to do it or not, since I don't have a group and I'm new to the facilitation process. And the answer, the guidance came back, which is yes.
Yeah. So, yep. Yeah, a fabulous way, as you're probably hearing, to practice facilitation as well as to be with oneself in a way that is compassionate and can be really healing.
Right. Now, a follow-on to that would be, does this apply to using the key group readings as a springboard?
Hey. Yeah, we're getting a lot of nods here. What a great idea.
All right, great. Thank you.
One thing, too, John, I'm not sure if you know, there's quite a lot of information about this in the blog. People who are kind of having somewhat involuntary self-facilitation opportunities when in their groups when people aren't showing up. And I've been very inspired reading some of those like people are talking about, you know, they just follow the same schedule as if people were there. So just it really is like a group of one. But they read the reading and then talk about what they see about that and get reflected and just the whole schmeal.
Yeah. Well, I agree, and I've been following that, and it would be interesting to begin doing that and just share with what comes up in my end as well, which is kind of, I'm looking forward to doing that.
Yeah, and I always enjoy remembering that when Sherry first started out on Dana Street in Mountain View, she was often a group of one.
Mm-hmm.
She always showed up, so good modeling for us, as always. So how about if we move on to any questions that have come up in the blog that are still floating around out there?
Melinda?
Yeah, this is
Hi, Melinda.
Hello.
Yeah, there were, I heard two women's voices.
Yeah, this is Tracy.
Okay, hey, Tracy.
Okay, good. I missed the facilitator, retreat at Green Cove. And
yes.
I remember hearing that there was some work done on writing centering exercises and practicing them. And I wasn't sure what the follow-up was to that.
At the moment, I'm in a room where there were a couple of people who were at Green Cove, and so far all I'm seeing is looks that I would project or puzzlement.
Okay. So my question is, we have four centering exercises, and there's one before the end of the time together.
Uh-huh.
And I was wondering if there might be a chance of coming up with some more. Either, you know, us as facilitators can come up with more, or I know that, you know, a couple years ago some were written, you know, when we were trying to work on a curriculum. And, you know, I'm happy to go through that and cut and paste some and send them into the monastery. And just, yeah, I would really just love some new ones if that might be possible.
Yeah, I think we're ready for that. And there's a couple things about it. One, we have a new structure for our program, actually, that we're creating right now. And we'll probably, I don't know, probably launch in the next little while. That I think is going to make it, it's going to, you know, how to say it without, I don't really kind of want to give away the details yet, but boost the possibility of getting stuff like that done. So we can look forward to that. And, you know, what just occurred to me is, sure, if anybody wants to write something like that in, or, you know, pull something off of something that is there, especially if we know what it is, then sure, we could start to process those kind of things right now, I think.
Okay, great. I will take it on and go through some stuff that we worked on a couple years ago.
That's
and,
great.
And send those in. Should I send it into the facilitation
yes,
email?
Yes, that's perfect.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Tracy.
Catherine has a question.
That sounds like Catherine.
Yeah. Melinda, I was wondering if I could get a question on the agenda. That's all I wanted.
We can always put it on the agenda.
That's all. Thank you.
And Deanna is
here.
This
is Lynette.
Let's go Deanna and then Lynette.
Hi. I've had a little bit of a challenging thing happen in groups that I wrote about on the blog, which was, I guess, 2 weeks ago, one person was talking. And another person appeared to be putting their fingers over their ears, under their hair. I couldn't quite tell, but it looked like they were trying to soften the sound. But
soften the sound, uh-huh.
Yeah, I glanced over, and the person has long hair, and their hands were kind of, it looked like, up near their ears, as if they were closing their ears either to not hear or to soften the sound. And I looked over again and saw this same thing, but I couldn't quite tell, and I was reflecting the speaker, concentrating on them.
Mm-hmm.
And then this last week, the same speaker spoke about some very difficult process, and then there was some silence, and the person who had put their fingers over their ear spoke, and it felt like crosstalk to me. I projected that it was crosstalk.
Mm.
It seemed very related. And then later on in the week, I had supper with two people, the person with the fingers over the ear and another person in the group, and she said, "Oh, I think I crosstalked the other night. What do you think?" And I said, "You know, we don't," and this, you know, there were other people there. I said, "You know, we don't talk about what happens." You know, I said it nicely, but we don't talk about what happens in group after the group. So there I am. And I, you know, I can see some of my own stuff where one voice says, "Don't make a big story about this." But another voice says, "Okay, I think something's going on."
You're starting to blip in and out a little bit, Deanna.
Uh-huh.
So one part of you is sort of suggesting, is this just a story? And then what did you say?
And the other part of me feels like, you know, something is happening, and I think I need to do something or say something. And I don't know what it is yet.
And how was the comment that you made at dinner received? Did it seem to sink in?
It was very well received. I said, you know, we don't debrief any, we don't talk about any content that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then she said something, well, is it like 12-step with no crosstalk? You know, is that part of the guidelines? And I said, yes, we do have a guideline where we do not crosstalk.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's where it ended. And another person who was in the group was kind of pushing through saying, oh, I don't think it was crosstalk what you did. But then...
As that person crosstalks.
right. And then... Clear that I had said, we don't debrief.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'd be curious what folks see as you're hearing what Deanna's experience was. And I think Jen has something.
I think that's it. All just seems like it was handled beautifully, perfectly. And I wondered, back to the part where you were saying you felt like it was tough. What can you just say a little bit more about that? What in it was?
Person A said, if I can give a sentence of content. Person A said, I feel incredibly hopeless and have years. And then she stopped. And then person B said, I felt hopeless for 15 years, but now I don't feel hopeless anymore because of Sherry's work. And then person A started to cry.
Yeah. Boy, that's tricky. That was kind of the reason I was asking, is because it's the whole dinner thing and that whole, I mean, there's really nothing. You just handled that again. Are other people hearing that?
Yeah, it sounds like it's breaking up.
Yeah, it's breaking up. We're going to try calling in on another line just in case it's fine.
Okay.
But while we're doing that, I'm going to experiment and mute us and see if it goes away. Did it go away?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. We might be okay here. Okay. So anyway, it does seem like it's a challenging place for the facilitator, because of course it is our responsibility to maintain the privileged environment. And so there is that sort of interesting moment of, okay, do I jump in here, do I not? Because there is a place where, as a facilitator, we do need to jump in. I mean, like a gross example of it would be if person B had said, well, you know, Anna, if you would just ha-ha-ha, you know, and then as a facilitator, I think we've put this in different forms, but we jump in and say, oh, let me just remind you about the guideline we have, blah, blah, blah. And I don't know what other folks think, but it seems to me like that it would be perfectly appropriate for the facilitator to take a tack of really encouraging, I guess it would be person B in this case, to speak from their own experience, which ostensibly she was. See, so that does make it tricky. yeah, I don't know. It's challenging. It's a challenging place.
Yeah, part of what's hooking me too is person A, who comes to the here, has never cried any time. And so I project that they project crosstalk, you know, or they, you know, they perceive that they were crosstalk. But I don't know that, you know. I don't know that. So on the one hand, I feel like, having said later we don't have crosstalk, to person B, that's now clearly known. But there's some part of me that wants to say something to person A, but I can't feel anything that feels right about what to say, because I think anything I would say assumes she can't fully take care of herself. You know, like if I said, I don't know what I'd say. especially when we're silent.
Hello?
Anybody there?
Hello?
We were just muted for a really long time. You did a nice job of self-facilitation there. No wonder. I kept talking to you, and I'm like, I don't think she's hearing me. Okay. Let's see. Where were we? So you were talking about the last I was hearing that you were saying you wondered if you need to say something to person A.
Right. And I don't know what that might, you know, like if it was a friend and we were at a 12-step meeting or something else, a different support group, I would say, that felt like crosstalk to me, and, you know, how are you? Or I want you to know that, you know, we don't have crosstalk, and I've reminded folks of the guidelines.
I see. Okay. So it'd be interesting to hear what other people, I wouldn't go in that direction post the thing happening. I would just kind of, from here on, kind of modeling holding the privilege and permit within the state.
Yeah, I agree. I think it all really needs to happen in the moment. One thing that helps me, it seems like only address something when somebody's breaking a guideline. You know, in that case, in a way, you could say she isn't. So that makes it really challenging to give something concrete to address. Now, she keeps doing that over and over and over again, then something needs to happen. I mean, that would be a place where, you know, we might say something to her privately or don't know. But it sounds like, you know, she's actually quite willing. She got it on her own. So in this case, it doesn't even seem like it needs to be particularly handled in any way. But in general, that's, you know, somebody like that gross example that Jen gave a little while ago. I mean, the facilitator needs to jump in instantly and say, well, hang on, time out, everybody. We have a guideline that. But anything that's different from, hey, we have a guideline that, and this is not in keeping with the guideline, brings a facilitator in a role the facilitator does not want to be in, because it's the facilitator projecting on what's going on there and sort of being a police and in the situation and actually sort of deciding what's correct and what's not correct. You know, even that whole question, is that crosstalk, that's not, you know, if we're acting from that place, that really I don't think was going to serve us. But if there's actual crosstalk happening, like she's saying to another person something rather, then that's a clear breach of the privilege environment, or referring to them by name or offering advice specifically to that person in a, you know, like an overt way, then we have a place to stand. But without a place to stand, I don't feel like there's a whole lot we can do but just hope everybody's adequately experienced and hope they wake up to what they're doing pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that seems right on. And that's just that we can, you know, and you see facilitators do this, like really begin to, you know, reflect the person back. So in your experience, which can really help. Often it will kind of bring that person to consciousness. Oh, right, my own experience.
Right. And I realize we didn't address the question of the person sitting there with her hands over her ears, and it sounds like probably you did the only thing you could possibly do, which is kind of ignore her and try to keep on track with the person you were facilitating.
That is what I did.
Yeah, it can be distracting, and it sounds like you caught that and just went on anyway. Just who knows what was going on for her.
Right. I didn't want to make up a story. She could have had an ear.
Yeah,
or,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Itchy ears.
Yeah.
Hey, John here.
Who's that?
John.
Okay, John.
It just occurred to me that another approach might be, and this I'm just offering this, to just say, hey, time out, I'm not sure what's going on here, and then guideline. That's an opportunity to reinforce.
Something really
okay.
We're getting echoes, and I can barely make out
what you were saying.
But I think if could you mute yourself for a moment?
For a moment.
Knocked out these
echoes.
And seems not to have. We may try calling in another line. But I think you were making a suggestion about another individual that Deanna might have been, who had her hands over her ears. I think that actually the way they handled it would be just kind of, you know, just something strange and we don't know what's going on. But Deanna kept her focus on the interaction.
Melinda, you're really echoing. I think we're all echoing.
Okay, well, we're going to get our person on it here. Hang on, we're going to try calling in on a different line.
Well, now you've stopped echoing.
Now we've said perfect. Okay. So
I think the threatened to call in on another line.
Sounds like Rebecca.
Yeah, can I offer something?
Please.
There's something that occurred to me this week as I was noticing this desire to have one of the monks listen to a recording, and it just occurred to me that maybe I could just record the group and listen to it myself and do a little self-facilitation about that. And I wondered if, first of all, I guess I wonder if that's okay. And, you know, I would just say to my group, that I would want to record the own ongoing facilitation training and sort of just leave it at that and, you know, and assure them that, you know, that no one else would be listening or, you know, just to say that, I guess, get their consent.
And I think everybody's recording their groups at this point. Is that not so? That's kind of the, not necessarily.
We put the information out there, actually. I'm not sure if everybody, if it registered everywhere, but that's the, you know, here at the Monastery, that's a basic practice. We do. We record all of the groups that we facilitate and then listen to it afterwards so we can hear what we did.
Oh, well, there you go. Okay, thanks.
Good idea, Rebecca.
I'm so glad I stumbled.
Yeah. Okay, are there other issues that are floating around out there?
This is Lynette.
Hey, Lynette.
So here's what's going on for me. I think the blog has been amazing, just incredible, the facilitation blog. And so I have been reading it, and then what I've realized is that I've just kind of had an opportunity to watch my process because I can't figure out how to post a comment. And so my process has been spending a very long time thinking that I was going to be able to figure it out myself.
Uh-huh.
And finally I'm to the point where time is passing and, you know, I'm just watching. So here I am and it's just so much of what I do. But I do need to learn how to post.
You're really trying to figure out how to post something on the blog because it sounds like you've really got things you'd like to say, and you're spending lots and lots of time trying to figure it out and not being able to figure it out. But this is a process that is familiar.
And not asking for help.
That's a big one. So
yeah, it's like I'm independent. I'll figure this out.
I don't need your help. Yeah,
right.
You didn't say that, but
yeah, I know.
So I think that there is a person you can email, or so let me. Yeah, I'm going to put one of our more IT savvy people on because for me, I just go down and there's a place where it says post a comment, and I write in there, and then it. I go a little further down, and it says submit, I think.
Well, I'm wondering, am I posting under someone else's comment, or is that an independent post? Because I don't see any place to put a title.
Okay, well, let me hand the phone to Alex, and he's going to, or Janet. Hold on just a second, Lynette.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll pass it to Alex. But all I know is that when you can't post it on the email that you got, the facilitator email that you get with what everyone has sent in that you get in your mailbox, is that where you're trying to post?
No, I actually can go to the blog I'm on the, you know, I have the blog, and on my blog, you know, I have a dashboard on my blogger.
Okay.
And I've got, like, you know, Sherry's practice blog and facilitate you, and I can choose which one to go to.
Are you logged in to the facilitator blog? Because you have to log in order to be posting anything on the facilitator blog. You need a username and password. Lynette, are you there?
Yeah, I'm just trying to process that.
Well, there's a space there to type in sign in, and then there's a username and then a password. The username is facilitate you.
Right.
The password is it all for one or one for all?
One for all.
Well, I believe that I've done that because I'm on the blog. I can see the blog. I can read the blog.
I could probably send you some instructions.
Okay.
Would that work?
Yeah, because I can see the blog. I mean, I can read all of the blogs. But
well,
you
can see the blog without signing in, can't you? Yeah. So that could be it, Lynette. It could be you'll need to actually enter your username and password. And then I think it actually gives you a button when you enter that information that gives you a way to post a blog.
Okay. If I could get a little more direction, that would be good.
Yeah, so the username and password is the same for all of us. So that's how you know whether or not you've... Because if you're not typing in facilitate you as the username and one for all as the password, then that would explain why you can't do it.
I actually have been doing that.
Okay. So are you by a computer, Lynette?
Yep.
Okay. So log in.
That's my question is where do I have it bookmarked, so where do I log in?
Oh, okay. I see.
You can
go
to blogger.com.
What are you looking at right now?
I'm looking at the blogger page, and it gives my email address, and it gives the dashboard, my account.
Okay. Hey, Bob. Feel free to jump in here.
This is Tony.
Tony.
Hey, Jen.
What I usually...
Go ahead, Tony.
What I usually do, I go to blogs.com, and then it comes up with my email address, and it says use a different account, and I go to use a different account.
Okay.
And then I do the facilitate you, and then the password one for all.
So you go to blog.com and it says use a different account, and then you do that, and then you type in facilitate you?
Yes.
Okay.
And that's what I do. I don't know. And then the password in the other.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Because I just saw what you meant, Lynette, by the dashboard.
Mm-hmm.
And, where are you now? Are you still in the dashboard thing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, when you look at the top middle of the screen, what address, what email address do you see there?
It's my email address.
Yeah, that's
email
it.
Address.
And then you've got to sign out see there's a little button on the right-hand side
yeah.
top that says sign out?
Right. Sign out.
Do that. Sign out.
Uh-huh. I just
and
did.
Then that will take you to a sign-in screen. Are you on a sign-in?
Yeah, and then I sign in with facilitate you and one for all?
Exactly.
Huh, okay. So much for asking,
But let's do it while you're just to make sure we've
right,
really got
I'm working on it.
Yeah, me too.
Can I ask a question while she's trying that?
Okay.
This is Jan. I cannot get in doing what you described. The last three times I've tried, I put it just what you described, the facilitate you and the password, a one for all, and it says the username or password you entered is incorrect.
And have you ever logged in before, Jan?
Yeah, I have.
Okay. I can only think that it's just some weird type of thing. You've got caps lock on or something, because I've been logging in over and over now, and it's working just fine.
Okay, well, I'll keep I've checked that, but okay.
And I'm there, and I have a new post, so you all will be hearing from me soon.
Right. Success. Well, I got to talk
Thank you.
To an IT thing. That's big.
So Don't let the word out.
Yeah. Thank you, Lynette.
Mm-hmm.
This is
Jen.
Okay, very good.
So, other questions? We'll get to, I'm holding the thought that Catherine has a question she'd like to ask, too. But any more about unresolved blog?
This is Jen. Can you hear me?
Yes. Hey, Jen.
Hi. I think I might be echoing. I am trying to do that same thing. I have not been able to sign in either. When I try to hit the use a different account, it won't allow me to use a different account. It just keeps showing my email, and nothing happens when I keep clicking use a different account.
Did you try signing out, Jen?
I can't find a place that says sign out. I heard you guys saying that, and I don't seem to have an option to sign out.
Okay, and are you in there right now?
I am in there right now, yes.
And you see, like, dashboard, is that where you are?
No, I'm at the place where I was in the blog, and then I hit the sign in up at the top, and then it took me to that thing that says, it puts my email and says use a different account under the password. If that makes sense, it kind of took me out of the blog into that other sign-in screen.
Okay. So Alex is suggesting go to blogger.com. Like kind of start over in a way.
Okay. So from blogger.com, what would I do then? Because it still has my email and that use a different account thing on that page, and it doesn't say sign out anywhere.
Okay, so at the very top left, does it have the little blogger symbol and say blogger?
Yes.
Okay, and then it has your email address kind of middle top?
Yes.
And then does it say dashboard next to that?
No, there's no dashboard. It's just my email address, and then there's a blank for password, and it says use a different account underneath that password blank. I think it's because I have a Google account, like a Gmail, so it's trying to kind of make me use my Gmail username and or email and password.
Right.
I don't know.
Bob, are you just not on the call? You might be able to email us. Yeah. Okay. Bob is our secret weapon.
Sorry, folks. I was muted.
Oh, there he is.
I was muted three ways, and I was only undoing two of them.
You must be back there just sitting on your hands.
Here's one thing you could try is that I think that you're so, I don't know what browser you're using, Firefox or Internet Explorer?
Firefox.
Okay. If you have another type of browser, like Internet Explorer or Safari,
okay,
you might try that one to see, because I think your browser is just saving information, and I'm confused about how to get to your place to sign out, because I'm not actually seeing where you are, but you might try a different browser just to start right now and see if you can get in that way.
Okay, thank you.
This is Lisa.
Who's that?
This is Lisa. I had a suggestion.
Hey, Lisa.
Hey. There's something I've noticed that if I'm logged into my Gmail account, like if I'm always logged in, that can interfere with the blogger. So I need to make sure that I'm signed out of my Gmail account.
You need to get completely out of your Gmail account and then go back in to try to get to the blog.
The other thing you can do is you can go into your browser under Preferences and just clear your history, clear all your cookies, if that's not going to mess anything up for you personally, if you know how to do that. And then that can kind of clear all of those, save the passwords and all that kind of stuff, and you can kind of start fresh and then, not have it saved. That's another way that I have to do it sometimes when too much junk is saved.
So keep doing all those pesky things behind the scenes that are having a big impact on where you're trying to get.
Yeah, so those are two things to try. Thanks.
Lisa. So I'm going to hope that is enough going. And I wanted to check in with Catherine and see.
Hold on.
I have one little preference is that, Catherine, if this is something you've blogged about, great. If not, I'd like for us to give a preference to people who have outstanding questions on the blog. So just so we can kind of keep our conversation focused that way.
It was not about the blog. It's about my group.
But have you put the issue on the blog about your group?
No, it's how to respond to somebody who made an inquiry to come to my group. And I did not.
Okay.
I emailed the facilitator and went to the wrong email. I did the wrong email address.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? To get it on the agenda for tonight. I did.
Oh, I see.
I didn't email Tony. I emailed facilitator, you know, anyway.
So, have some questions? Yeah, so what's the question, Catherine? You said somebody, yeah, what's the question?
I received an inquiry about the group. This is the first one, so that's exciting. And the person said she got my contact information from the monastery, and she wanted information about the group. And I was wondering, I know the group has talked a lot about, or our facilitator group has talked a lot about the flyers and various guidelines. Did we ever come up with something that we send people when they inquire about the group?
Uh-huh. So the question is there something that you could send this person
group? Yes, or do I just respond with what I believe I'm supposed to tell her about the group?
Hey, Catherine, is it a woman named Anna?
Yes.
Okay. She's pretty dialed in. She's, I think she's there for a short period, like for a summer kind of something thing. So, just a pleasure. She's going to be right on track for you.
Well, so she has, I tell her, I'm a facilitator in training, here's where the group is, and she should come for orientation.
It might be fun practice. You know, make it short. I mean, she knows about the privileged environment. She knows how to move around the hall. She knows how to sit. She's been around the block, you know, a time or two. It might be good. I don't know where the information resides. If Tony has it, but for Tony to send you the latest, the guidelines form and just the latest materials that we're making available for people. Tony, do you know what that is?
This is Tony. So I do have the guidelines. It'll be end of the week, like Saturday or Sunday, before I can do that, but I'll be glad to do that.
I think I have that. And I have copies of flyers, but I know a lot of this is still being discussed, so I wasn't sure.
Yeah, I think the old stuff we have is still good. I don't think the guidelines are going to change. We're not working on that at all.
Okay.
And she doesn't really need a flyer because she's already, you know, booked.
I think it's just
a matter of getting there. You know, what you might consider doing, Catherine, just because she is so dialed in, is just invite her to come 10, 15 minutes early so she can have plenty of time to get there. You can orient her to the space and stuff, and then, you know, she'll be ready to go.
Okay.
That's exciting. Okay, how are we doing on time? We've probably got time for one more quick one, if anybody has another blog.
Oh, I have a question. This is Andrea.
Yes, Andrea.
Yeah, my life has been very unsettled the last few months, and so I'm not sure. If someone could just send me a link to where the blog is, I'd like to get on. I've never logged on to it.
Okay. Is it just blogger.com? No. Okay, there's more to it than that. Hang on just a second, Andrea. I'm consulting the experts here. Yeah, so Andrea, try blogger.com, and then it's the sign-in is facilitate you, and it's just a U.
Oh, okay.
As in university.
Right.
And then the password is one for all.
Okay, and that's all in words?
O-N-E.
Okay.
And it's all, there's no spaces, it's just O-N-E-F-O-R-A-L-L. That should get you there.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Melinda, this is David.
Hey, David.
Hi, yeah, I've got a quick thing that I posted on the blog, which was trying to get a confirmation about it up at the monastery group, but I just wanted to clarify whether that is actually kind of an official guideline out in our local sitting groups as well.
I missed the first part. You're wanting to get confirmation of
whether or not it is a guideline for people in our local groups to wear socks.
Socks in the meditation hall.
Yes, socks. Well, socks. I don't actually have a meditation hall, but yes, socks when people come to groups.
Socks. So it looks like that's probably the choice of the person in whose home the event is being held. And if you're fine with folks being barefoot, great. If you'd rather they wear socks, make it a guideline.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. So thank you, everybody. It's been a lot of fun. And I'm not sure, Tony, when is our next? We don't have one scheduled yet, so we'll be getting back to people with the date for the next call once we know what it is. And I think Jen is going to send her notes to Dave. Thank you very much, Jen. And
sure.
Tony, do you need to see if there are any names that you don't have yet?
Sure. If there's anybody that I didn't, that came in that might not have gotten. Maybe not.
Sounds like maybe you got everybody.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Will be available?
Pardon?
The recording will be available for anybody
yes.
who call or would like to hear it again. And I think that's it for tonight. Thank you, everybody.